Hello again. This is Cohen Muck Moore with another exciting drill-packed episode. I don't know how drill-packed I end up being, but... I tell you what. Nothing is more vilified in Christendom than the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Jehovah's Witnesses are treated better than Latter-day Saints. I know that's an opinion. I'm sure you could talk to many Jehovah's Witnesses and they would disagree and say that they were more ill-treated. To be honest, I really don't care. It really is a question of what did Jesus Christ do? What has Jesus Christ done? Did he start the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Did he appear to Joseph Smith and tell him what to do? You can sit there and say all day long, oh, it's just anti-biblical, it's not right, it's a heresy, it will never happen. And you go, all I know is Jesus Christ did it. Pardon me. And I'm satisfied I'm going to repeat myself. I'm satisfied to my satisfaction. I have had too many spiritual experiences around the faith that I have in the Jesus Christ that is taught by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the one that visited Joseph Smith. I've read the Book of Mormon. I've prayed about it. Wow! It just... I got a spiritual confirmation. Many people poo-poo that and say, no. You need to believe in the Bible. And you're going, man, the Bible needs to have the same kind of spiritual confirmation. And many people have it. Many people do. That it is the writings of prophets and apostles talking about Jesus Christ. As far as I'm aware of, Jesus Christ never put one word on paper. We do not have a book that was written by Jesus. We don't have a scripture, a single verse of scripture written by Jesus. Now he said it, others wrote it down. You need to develop that confirmation that the things that Paul said, and you, if you poo-poo Joseph Smith, you better start tossing out Paul. Because Paul had a kooky vision. And he went straight from being a Christian killer. Oh, I don't know if he killed anybody, but he certainly helped those who were trying to stone him, at the very least. And he was looking for more support to go out and do worse things. And all of a sudden, he turns around. Well, I don't know if it's all of a sudden, but, you know, and it's through this interesting dream experience, him going blind, him having his sight returned. All those things. I find it interesting that people accept that story very readily, but yet somebody who lived 1,800 years later, oh, no, that can never happen. And you're going, happened to Paul? Are you going to toss out all of the New Testament that is ascribed to Paul? You won't have much left. But regardless, And I'm not picking on a soul. You can believe what you want to believe, but it's almost like, I'm sorry. You tell me that your faith, it makes a lot of sense, and it's well backed up, and it's corroborated, and I'm an idiot because I believe in additional things that Christ did, that Christ came to the American continent, that Christ taught the Sermon on the Mount, that Christ taught the Beatitudes. To people in another place, other sheep I have, they're not as full. And they all say, oh no, that's got to mean the Gentiles. Jesus, as far as any record says, never appeared to the Gentiles. Never, ever, ever happened. And the Gentiles would have it through this Jewish faith that Christianity grew out of. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have faith. And when you do what the Bible teaches, when you do what it says Christ told us to do, and you feel those stirrings, you feel that wonderful feeling that confirms that your faith is well placed. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. That is God, or the Spirit of God, speaking to you and telling you that this is good. All I'm saying is that you could have more if you would apply the same criteria to the Book of Mormon, to the doctrines and principles that are taught by Joseph Smith, who I revere as a prophet, along with all of his successors. If you would put the same test standard that you put on the Bible, you will come to find out that these things are true too. And you will be absolutely stunned by the friends you will lose, by the people who will scream and hiss and hate you, because you have now turned from your old faith. You have thrown it away. And you go, no, I didn't. I still have the same faith I did before. I still have those same faithful feelings and manifestations that helped me to become a Christian. But now I'm having those as well with these additional things. It's another testament of Jesus Christ, not a replacement. The people who tell you that are either, well, I'm not going to say. I don't want to get on the whole course, and I have in the past, I'll probably try to do it again and have to stop myself, about getting pretty mad at Christian preachers, at those who would say, you know, you're going to burn in hell if you get anywhere near Latter-day Saints in their book, except for convincing them that they need to come to this smaller faith. Jesus couldn't do what he did. Jesus couldn't go to America, or didn't. And you're going, how do you know? What the heck do you know? We've got a record right here. You can test it and see if it meets the same standards you put on the Bible. I think probably what is most likely is that there are many people who don't really have an inborn testimony, assurance, that the Bible is really the Word of God. They just clutch on to it and certain good things happen to them. And that's, you know, it's the promises that God gave to us concerning living the commandments and things like that, you are going to get those, whether you're personally willing or able to pursue Christ further. Every single good thing that you do, every single good thing that you pursue is tied to a blessing. And you'll feel those blessings. You'll go, God is blessing me in my life. And you're going, would you like to be blessed more? Would you like to have more? And too many people say, oh, no, I have quite enough. That's enough. I've got a Bible. I don't need any more Bible. You know. And, you know, as long as you're only doing that to yourself, that's your business. Now, if you convince your children to never look for more, if you convince your friends and your family never to you know, oh, you must stay away from that beyond all the things. Why? Well, because my preacher told me, or somebody that I really trust told me that they were satanic. And you're going, you know, I said, people have read the Book of Mormon, and I'm sorry. I've read the Book of Mormon. I'm still in the middle of reading it. And, of course, that's where I'm going to come to here soon. Wonderful. And there's so much more that you can have. The whole concept of being able to become like God, I call it God's agenda, what he's trying to accomplish with you. If your full vision of Christ and what he is about is exclusively about not being punished in the afterlife for sins that you didn't repent of, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. Who wants to be punished? It has to do with what your possibilities are. The New Testament, and can I be honest, the Book of Mormon is really very much about getting prepared for the afterlife, getting prepared for judgment, and what needs to be done to do that. Faith in Jesus Christ. This is the doctrine of Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ, repentance, baptism, and then you get the baptism of fire, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then you try to live a Christ-like life. Of course, Christians spend a good amount of time, at least some of them do, I think, talking about how much they're sinners, almost wearing it as some kind of gold-plated tag on their chest, and how grateful they are for Jesus for taking upon him their sins. When I think the next statement out of Jesus is, will you please stop sinning? I'm not here to try to make you feel good about being a sinner. Stop sinning. Hello? I mean, it seems logical, but so many people stop right there. Oh, I'm a sinner. You know, I can't really be a good person. And you go, well, you know, it says, but I'm saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And you go, that's true. You are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. But who does Jesus Christ offer that grace to? What constitutes Christ's grace? And for me, now, like I said, I am not somebody who is an official herald for the LDS Church. I'm not. I'm a member in good standing. I go to temple every week. I go to the temple every week, just in case you guys said, he's saying it wrong. He's not a good Latter-day Saint. You go, man, I go and do endowments every week for sometimes for my progenitors, other times for other people's progenitors. It's great. And I give them the opportunity to continue to get the kind of wonderful blessings that come of making further covenants with God that are available through Jesus Christ. Anyway, now I never forgot what I was talking about. Oh my gosh, I hate it when I do that. Oh, the agenda of God. If you just stop with asking Christ to take upon you his sins without really doing much about your sins, without stopping being a person that's sinful. That's why you have time on earth, is to go from being kind of a natural, sinful person to being more like Jesus Christ, who did not sin. Now, the agenda of God is that you will have immortality and eternal life. That's God's work and his glory. That's what he's up to. That's what he's seeking to accomplish. That's what he wants you to buy into as well. These are all things about, do you want to become like God? And you go, well, that's blasphemous. And you go, I'm sorry. What is there about being a father, being a parent? Do you slap your kid every time he says, Daddy, I want to be like you one day? Give him a good slap, because that's blasphemous. How dare you think you can ever be as wonderful and great as I am? And you're going, oh, wow. He says, that's not good. And you go, yeah. Our earth life here is a great preparation for what's coming forward. God's saying that we need to be married. He even made that one of the great commandments at the very, very beginning. It was an Adam and Eve commandment, you know, put you guys together, you shall be one flesh. Leave your father and your mother, cleave to your wife. Why? Why should you do that? Except that it is a preparation and a test for what your possibilities are going forward. Were you a good parent? Why should you bother trying to even be a good parent or even being a parent at all? And I'm not trying to dissuade you from doing it, but to sit there and say, it's so much easier not to be a parent. You know, and so much, let me tell you, ask anybody how much easier it is not to be married. Now, are you fulfilled? Likely not. If you don't have children, and everybody prefers that you do it the right way. Get married. This is my whole thing. Get married, have babies, become gods. And I know people go, oh, that's just horrendous. And you go, oh. I'm sorry. It makes everything God said about marriage and family life purposeful. Otherwise, what is God doing if that doesn't matter? If it really doesn't matter anymore, if after you're dead, it says in the scriptures, after you're dead, there is no marriage or giving in marriage. And it's true. You can't get married after this life. You got to get married while you're on earth. It's part of your mortal existence. Because it's important. Because he needs to see what kind of a parent you're going to be to spirits like you and I. As a God, as a heavenly father. Now you can poo-poo the whole thing and say three things. Well, what's this about Mrs. God? That's just the craziest thing. What's this about Jesus and Satan being brothers? Oh my gosh, that's so horrid. You go, dude, wait a minute. You need to turn off your blasphemy meter, and you need to think about what seems logical and what makes sense. Why is God so weird about marriage? Why is God so weird about fornication? why is one of the worst sins, I mean, it's right up there with murder, is adultery. Why is that so important if it makes no difference later on? Why would a God put you through all this garbage if it didn't serve some purpose? If it didn't suss out things about you that were going to be important going forward? The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has distinct, wonderful, inspired teachings about these things. Further information that we have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ to tell us what goes on afterwards, what we need to be preparing for, why marriage is so important, why having children is something that we should aspire to and desire, as opposed to just doing it because everybody seemed to do it and that God said we needed to do it. God doesn't typically give us commandments, for at least not for too long, without giving us a reason why we should be doing it. We have that reason. You go to the website. Go to the website. I use lds.org to get there. It's shorter. The actual website is churchofjesuschrist.org. And you can start learning about these things. It's really amazing. And it really kind of, I don't know if it reframes your mortality, your life, and why God tells you to do the things he tells you to do. Why God is so weird about sexual purity. Why God is so weird about procreation and having children. And being married. Go and find out. It'll be fantastic for you. And it's part of what I call the agenda of God. Now, I don't know. Nobody else calls it that. Other people call it the plan of salvation, the plan of happiness. I'm a simple guy, so I just say, hey, this is what God's trying to do. You can either be part of God's agenda. You can align yourself, your attitudes, your behavior, what you want with what God wants for you, and it becomes this amazing thing. Or you can say, oh, no, 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 no. It's funny that there is so many Christians these days that even though it says several times in the New Testament that Christ says, hey, man, get baptized. If you're not baptized, I have nothing to do with you. There's nothing I can do. Baptism is central. And how many Christians have been taught by I don't know, well-meaning friends, well-meaning preachers, that says that, oh, baptism really isn't necessary or important or whatever. And you're going, I'm sorry. I have read the Bible all the way through. I only did it once. I've read the New Testament several times. It's kind of tough because the language is a little rough and I don't have much faith in new modernized translations, or not, they're not translations, new modernized interpretations, because I'm not sure if they're right or not. The Book of Mormon is really easy. We actually have the original manuscripts that Joseph Smith wrote. Well, he didn't write them. He had other people write them. But he would say what he was reading. And if you want to know how he did it, go to the website. It's explained. the church has been really good, and it's true, it's been lately. If the process of the translating of the Book of Mormon seems hokey or too weird or stuff like that, the church used to downplay that. Now they don't because they're tired of being accused of whitewashing things. So I said, fine, we'll show you how it goes, and we'll show you some of the ways it was done, and we'll show you how, frankly, the church leadership has been tricked at times by shysters who came up with new documents that we thought were authoritative, but were hoaxes. If you think this is exclusive to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you really need to dig a little bit into Christianity and see where things have gone kind of funny over time. I'm usually it's quite interesting to me that there was so many people that walked away from the Catholic Church and protested it for various reasons. And whether you know, and it's like, and there was plenty of calls of blaspheming then. A lot of it has settled down a bit, but does that mean that we all found what was right? I go out on YouTube and I listen to some evangelicals. I also listen to some restoration church people. Sometimes people call the LDS church restoration. Trust me, the rest of the restoration churches do not. Oh. And you'll see a lot of splintering. You'll see a lot of different groups going off in different directions. And that's just the way these things go, especially, I'll tell you, down deep in my heart at least, it all comes from kind of a unified decision among most Christians that they will not accept further prophets. There cannot be any apostles anymore. There cannot be, you know, God does not speak. He is done. It is over. He is mute. He will never say another word to you except perhaps, you know, I know people who say that they felt led, and I accept this. I accept this for people who feel like Christ is steering them in a direction or things like that. I understand that completely. And I think it's good and it's right. And if you start saying that you got one of those impressions, you might find yourself in a pretty tough space among other Christians that you used to think you were unified with. And all of a sudden, you're not. And maybe you'll start getting a sense for how Latter-day Saints feel about how they are perceived by other Christians or by Christians in general. I'm going to be really nice and not say other Christians because, you know, they say, you're not Christian. And you go, yeah. And like I said, and when they say, well, you worship a different Jesus, and you go, you're right, I do. I worship the Jesus Christ that, in addition to all the wonderful things he did in the Holy Land, Galilee and Jerusalem, and hanging on the cross, and taking upon himself our sins, and hanging on the cross, and then being resurrected. What on earth were we resurrected to? What on earth was that supposed to be? It seems that God would be kind of a pushy jerk if all he said was, well, I will resurrect these people and they will go up into the clouds and I will make sure they are given harps and they will sing my praises till the end of time. And you're going, wow, is that self-centered? Do you want to worship a God that's just all about that? I don't know what else Christianity really offers as what your stance is going to be. I'm good with the whole thing about, well, it's all about not burning in hell. It's like, okay, well, that's good. All right, but beyond not burning in hell, then what? You know, bliss, whatever. And that's great, except that, is that all it is all day? Is sitting up there and worshiping Jesus and worshiping God? Isn't there something more? That would be my first thing. After about 15 minutes, it's like, well, that was kind of fun, I guess. Now what? And then it's like, nope, that's it. And you go, you know, there's plenty of people who say, I'd rather burn in hell. Sounds more interesting to me. And you go, wow, not me. But then again, I've got a God that says, now we're going to give you more. You're going to become a joint heir with Christ. I don't know where people kind of try to downplay that. That's a huge thing. Christ is going to become like his Father. He obeys his Father. He's going to become like his Father. And as we follow Christ, he is going to make us like him, who is like the Father. We will all be one. And wow, we get to be like God. And everything that you see that God has done created this amazing world. Now, Latter-day Saint thought has numberless worlds that God and Christ have created, have organized and put together and peopled with God's children, along with everything else, along with all the animals, the plants, and everything else. Everything that you've heard in the creation story, this has been done so many times. And it's like, wow, what is the end purpose of all this? To set up a training ground, a testing ground, to see whether we will follow the Lord. Doesn't he always ask that? Doesn't he always say that? You should follow me, you should follow me. Even more than he talks about salvation, he talks about following him to some end game that he really didn't talk about or wasn't recorded in the scriptures for some reason. And that we will get to enjoy that same sort of life that God does and Christ does. And it's promised. Christ promises it. In the very New Testament that I swear every Christian says they adore, but I wonder if they spend a lot of time reading. No, and it's not to be rude. Everybody cherry picks their favorite scriptures. That's okay. Just make sure that you leave yourself open to some of the scriptures that may be downplayed really hard because people don't understand exactly what that's talking about. Hang in there. Keep going. Keep going. Read the Book of Mormon and test it. There's a test at the end. Remember all the wonderful things that God has done for all these people. Moses, Abraham, Elijah, the prophets, all of them. And how wonderful he was to them. And how he made sure that they knew the truth from God. So read that Book of Mormon. Pray about it, and you can get the same experience, the same assurance that kept Abraham and Moses and all the prophets going. I assure you, because I did it and it came to me, I don't think it's exclusive. But only me and a relative handful of people that are called Latter-day Saints would be able to have this. It's available to everybody. You've got the Book of Mormon. Don't burn it. Don't tear it up. Don't rip into it. Don't listen to some pastor's interpretation or critique of it, for which he's getting compensated. You do smell the money, right? Okay, well, you don't have to buy the Book of Mormon. You don't have to pay off the Holy Spirit to tell you whether the Church of Jesus Christ, or to tell you that the Book of Mormon is the word of God's prophets. You don't have to do that. You can pray and ask. Sincerely, you can't just do it for casualness, because God expects you to act on what you know, just like in the Bible. You can't be casual about having an assurance of your faith that you've had in the Bible. You have to act on it. You have to keep those commandments. Not just to say, well, I can't do that, but Christ is going to be okay with me. That's garbage. I'm sorry. I think that's silly. That's like some kid saying, you know, my dad told me not to go running out in the street. And you say you love your father and you know he cares about you. But then you go out running into the street saying, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. And then you get hit. And you get so upset and angry because you said, well, I told him, why didn't my dad come out and rescue me? And you go, your dad told you to stay out of the street, you moron. It wasn't just, he's not there just to flap his lips. He's trying to do stuff for you. It's the same thing with our Heavenly Father, God, and His Son, Jesus Christ. These things just aren't put out there to sound nice, to make you feel good inside. And then you start getting this, you know, and then you can say, well, I'm just so weak and I can't do these things. And he's so much above us. He's untouchable and I can't do that. And you go, you just want to slap him and say, he wouldn't have told you this was a commandment unless he gave you the tools to be able to do it. You can overcome these things. So many people have become better people and have better lives. Thank goodness they didn't listen to somebody who said, oh, I'm a sinner. And as long as you admit your need for Jesus' grace, that's all you got to do. And you're going, no, that is not all you got to do. You actually have to do it. And there's more to do. There's more possibilities. Is it hard? It is not hard. It is not difficult. It's not difficult to understand. And can I be really honest with you? It's not difficult to do. Christ will help you. He will help you to give up your sins. Stop doing them. He's working to make you into a better person. A person that does not sin. But also a person who wants to be like God. A person who wants to be a joint heir with Christ. Everything that Christ has, you're going to have if you do what Christ says. Keep his commandments. It's amazing. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. I don't know what to call this one exactly. I don't know if I really talked much about the agenda of God, except to mention it. That's probably going to be the term for it. I've got plenty of more travel time here coming up, so we're going to go on with some things afterwards. Thank you for listening to Cohen Monk Mormon. I am Jason Nemro, and it's great to talk at you. Feel free to go to the website. There are links there to all kinds of things. There's a donate button if you want to donate, if you want to support this. I already make plenty of money, but you can always always give me more. I'm going to retire soon, and then I won't be making so much money. And that website is https://Quix, which is Quix.us. Go to that website, and you'll get a whole bunch of stuff that I've been up to, things I've written, other things that I've recorded, besides this podcast, and yeah. Make sure you also go to LDS.org. It'll take you to churchofjesuschrist.org, and you can learn more about what's available to you. It's fantastic. It's marvelous. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-expanding. And it starts making all those things that you had ever been taught about what God wants you to do, all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, now there's reasons why God told me to do the things he wanted me to do. And it wasn't just to make me crazy. Anyway, I will let you go. Talk to you later. Bye.